Exodus chapter 3 in your Bible. Exodus chapter 3. I wonder this morning if you had a relative who died in a conflict, in a war. Would you stand, please? Anybody like to have a relative, either immediate or distant relative, that died in a conflict or a war? Rich McDonald did. All right. Sue Stone did. Well, we certainly remember Mrs. Crowley did. All right. We certainly remember those folks who gave their lives this weekend for our freedom and our liberty. If you served, we usually do this on Veterans Day, but if you served in any branch of our military for any length of time, would you stand, please? If you served in our military for any length of time, would you stand, please? All right. Some of the folks that normally, of course, would stand are not out of town this morning. But God bless all of you folks who served, peacetime or wartime. We appreciate the sacrifice you made for our country. Amen? You may be seated. All right. Exodus chapter 3, beginning with verse number 11. Let's stand, please, in honor of God's word. We're going to read down through verse number 15. And I want to bring a message along the lines of the subject of memorial, but not so much a memorial day as we observe it tomorrow. Please read the even-numbered verses with me. I'll read the odd ones, beginning with verse 11 through verse 15 of Exodus 3. And Moses said unto God, Who am I? What, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Let's pray before our song this morning and jump right into the message. Dear Father, thank you for your book. Speak to our hearts from it today. May this message be a help and a blessing to every individual in this room. I pray that you'll give us listening ears, that our hearts, Lord, would be open to receive your word, that it would fall on good ground and bring forth fruit in our lives. We'll thank you for it. Bless the music and the message in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated.
Battle.
bless you. I want to speak this morning out of verse number 15. I'm going to refer to some other verses in this chapter. This sounds awful loud. Is it loud out there to you this morning? Is it okay? It's loud. Okay, I thought it did. I thought it sounded so loud. And how about up here, Brother Greg? Just check it, make sure. In the back, can you hear okay? In the back, can you hear okay? Thank you. All right. If it's a little bit loud, we'll get that adjusted. Now, I want to speak on God's memorial. At the close of verse number 15, the verse says, "And this is my memorial unto all generations." That's God talking. God's memorial. He said, "This is my memorial unto all generations." He's referring to something. What's he referring to? I want to talk about that this morning in the message, God's memorial. Let's pray together. And our dear Father, I pray that you'll now open our hearts to your word. Lord Jesus, we have so much to do with that. We have a spirit that we can close to you or we can open to you. And I pray that each person in this room right now voluntarily would open their spirit to the word of God so that God, your spirit, might have access to our hearts. Help us today and speak to us. May we learn something. May we be challenged. And Lord, please, if there's somebody here without Christ, that song just the men sang, Jesus died for us so that we could be free and have victory. And I pray that you'll help that person come to Christ this morning. In Jesus' name, and amen. In Exodus 3, we find the call of God on Moses' life as he is tending his father-in-law's sheep on the backside of the desert. Now, the desert's one place. I'd hate to be on the backside of the desert, whatever that may mean, but that's where he was. And he looked across the way there. The Bible says he saw a bush on fire. We've said many times over the years, not unusual to see a bush on fire in the arid Palestinian land over there, Middle Eastern land, and a bush on fire, and then it would burn up. But this was an unusual sight because Moses looked a half hour later, and the bush was still burning. And then he looked maybe a half hour later, and the bush was still burning. And the Bible says it was not consumed in the fire. It kept burning. So finally, he said, I'm going to turn aside and see what's happening over there. And he went to where the bush was burning, and the Lord began to speak to him out of the bush and told him to take off his shoes. He was standing on holy ground. And then he went on to tell Moses, my people have been in bondage in Egypt for over 400 years. And I've heard their cry, and I've seen their oppression. And I'm going to come down and do something about it. And you're the man that I'm choosing to use as a vessel to deliver my people from the bondage of Egypt. You're going to do that, Moses. Now, Moses was stunned. He really was. He didn't expect this at all. And in verse number 11, you can see that in his response. We read it just a moment ago. Who am I? God, you're making a mistake, Lord. Who am I? That I could go down there and deliver these people. And when I come to them, in verse 13, when I go down there and say, you know, I'm here to deliver you, who am I going to tell? When they ask me, who sent you here? Who sent you here? When they ask me, who sent me, what shall I tell them? Who are you? That's what Moses asked the boy speaking to him out of this bush. Who are you? And then you have that wonderful revelation of God in verse number 14 there. God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And when you get down there, you tell the children of Israel that I am sent you. I am. Now, friend, that is the name for God, that God reveals Himself here to Moses as Jehovah. I am that I am. The name that means God is the self-existent, eternal one who never changes. Self-existent, eternal one who never changes. I've said it before. I love to say it. I'll say it again. You know what that means? Jehovah. I'll tell you what Jehovah means. Jehovah means in eternity. What is time to us? Past, present, future. That's how it's measured. Past, present, and future. God in eternity past was then what He is now and what He will be in eternity future. That's what Jehovah means. Jehovah means that what God is now is exactly what He was in eternity past and exactly what He will be in eternity future. That's what Jehovah means. And Jehovah means that in eternity future, God will be then what He was in eternity past and what He is today.
He is Jehovah God, the self-existent, eternal one who never changes. I'm glad we have a God like that in a changing world. I'm glad I can anchor myself into a God who never changes. The self-existent, eternal one. And then in verse number 15, God continues talking to Moses about His name. And he says at the end of verse number 15, Lord God. He's talking about the name Lord God. And He says, this is My name forever. This is My memorial unto all generations. God said My name, Jehovah God, is My memorial to all generations. Now, you've heard me talk about the blessing of going to Washington, D.C. and the history there and the government facilities and the memorials and the monuments especially. I never tire of going to the memorials and the monuments, the Lincoln Memorial and the Washington Monument and the Jefferson Memorial and the World War II Memorial that we saw for the first time this spring. And the Korean conflict memorial, the Korean War memorial, and the Vietnam Wall memorial there. In Texas, years ago, I saw the Sam Houston Memorial, a great general who came to fight there at the Alamo. And of course, if you go to San Antonio, you have the Alamo. The truth of the matter is, in towns and cities and villages all across this country, I see little signs when I travel to preach somewhere. I see little signs, Korean and Vietnam War Memorial. All war memorial, all over this country, memorials, monuments have been erected to remember the local citizens who gave their lives for the defense of freedom and liberty for this nation. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You see those little signs? All over the place. Okay, there's here and there's here and there's here. Everywhere. Now, these are good, and I think they're right, and I think they're necessary monuments so that we won't forget. But remember the sacrifice and the legacy of the people who gave their lives. But, you know, it's an unusual thing. And I'm not being disrespectful now. I've never visited the God Memorial. Never seen one advertised. I've never been to the God Monument. I never visited any edifice made of stone or granite or wood or metal that was erected so that we would remember God and who He is and what He's done and what He's doing. Anybody else ever seen something like that? Anybody been to a God Monument? Nobody's seen a God Memorial. There's a reason for that, folks. God said to Moses over 3,000 years ago, My name is My memorial. My name is forever and ever unto all generations. My name, Jehovah God, Lord God, is My memorial. And truly, friend, this has been and will be the case to all generations. You see, the names of Washington and Lincoln and Jefferson and Houston and Travis and Audie Murphy, I'm talking about the war dead and those involved in the forming of this nation. I'm talking about the great movers and shakers of our society. Those names are not perpetually on the minds and lips of people. But how about the name of God? I would dare say that in this auditorium this morning, the name George Washington has not been on the names and minds of some people in this room for the last 7 days. The name of Abraham Lincoln has not been on the mind and lips of people for the last 7 days and maybe 14 days, unless for some reason Abraham Lincoln was brought up. But I dare say that in this room this morning, from front to back, side to side, all the folks that are in this congregation right now, hardly a day passes, and in some cases, hardly 12 hours passes without God's name being on our mind and on our lips. How many times a day do I say, almost subconsciously anymore, dear God? And I don't mean it. I don't mean using His name in vain. That's becoming so popular today. Oh, God, and all this stuff. Friend, you better not use that name that flippantly. I'm talking about in prayer. I'm talking about in acknowledging my need. How many times a day is the name of God on your mind? How many times a day does the name of God escape your lips? What other person can make such a claim about their name? And isn't it interesting that the third commandment in Exodus chapter 20 is, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. What do you think would happen if on the senior trip to D.C., we took out hammers as we approached the Vietnam Veterans Wall there and just started pounding on that wall with hammers? What do you think would happen if we walked up to the obelisk there, that Washington Monument, and just began to wail away with a sledgehammer or a maul on the Washington Monument? The D.C. police, the security force would come and they'd take you away because you're desecrating the memorial, the monument that's been erected to that person. It's a national place. No wonder the commandment was, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. His name is His memorial. You couple the name of God with a profane expletive, it's like taking a hammer to the Vietnam Wall. It's worse than taking a hammer to the Vietnam War. You take the name of God in some vain manner, throw it around like it was anybody else's name. It's like taking a sledgehammer to the Lincoln Memorial and pounding on that statue there of Lincoln sitting in that chair. Say, I would never do that. Then don't throw God's name around like it's anybody else's name. His name is His memorial. He said it would be to all generations. His name is His monument. Let me ask a few questions this morning about His name being His memorial. Maybe this will be a blessing to you. Number one, could God have done any better in choosing His name as His memorial? Well, first of all, the immediate resounding answer to that question is obviously no, simply because on the surface, God does what is best and right and good and perfect. How can you improve on perfection? So no, God couldn't have done any better. But let's go a little deeper than that. He couldn't have done any better, friend, because His name, think about this, His name is with us at all times. It's with me at all times. You see, I have to travel to Washington, D.C. to be at the Lincoln Memorial. I have to travel to D.C. to stand at the Washington Monument. I have to travel outside of Baytown, Texas to be at the Sam Houston Memorial. You got to travel here and travel there to be at memorials that are in memory, monuments to mere men. But God's memorial travels with me wherever I am. And God's memorial travels with you wherever you are. And you know what monuments and memorials do to us? They inspire us. If you've never been to D.C., let me tell you, take your family there sometime, and when you walk down that Washington Mall there, and you approach the Lincoln Memorial, and you stand there in front of that gigantic statue of Lincoln in that chair, let me tell you what's going to happen if you're a red-blooded American. You're going to feel inspiration. There's something magnificent about that. I remember the first group of kids we took to the Vietnam Wall. I will never forget that as long as I live. I mean, these are high schoolers. High schoolers are always jabbering and oftentimes being silly, you know, on occasions like that. And nobody had to say a word. We didn't have to, help, whoop, no talking now. Everybody in line. We approached that Vietnam Wall. It was awe. If it affects you any other way, something's wrong. I mean, name after name after name after name after name. I think with over 50,000 names on that wall, I think. You're just in awe of it. It's inspiration. I'm going to tell you something. When I think about my God, when His name crosses my mind, when His name fills my heart, when His name escapes my lips, I experience an inspiration. There's an awesomeness. There's a reverence. There's a consciousness of He's alive and He's working and He's powerful and He's omniscient and He's omnipresent and He's with me right now. His name is His memorial. It goes with me wherever I go, in any circumstance, any time, any place. I can call on that name. That name, I can call on it. I love that scripture over there in Samuel when David went to face Goliath. I love it. I love that scripture. I never get tired of reading it. That big old champion of the Philistines, over 9 cubits tall, the Bible says, day after day for 40 days, defied God and the armies of God and the people of God. And then here came this little sawed-off young man, maybe 17, 16, 18 years of age, And David said to Goliath, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts." I mean, David said, "Sir, you got to take time. You got to take time to pick up a sword and pick up a spear and strap on a shield." He said, "I don't need all of that, because in the name of my God, I have all three of those weapons in God's name." You see, Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse number 29, the Bible says that the Lord is the shield of thy help and is the sword of thy excellency. In the name of God, I have sword, spear, and shield. David said, "Goliath, you got to take time to pick up all three of those pieces of armor. I just come to you in one name. In one name, I have everything and more than you have in all your armor. I've got everything in one name. In the name of God, I've got everything I need to take you on." Let me tell you something, friend. In God's name, you've got everything you need to face the burdens of life. Now, we nod our heads and we say amen and we say that's right. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. When you get into the conflict, don't forget that. I am amazed at how many people give mental consent to Bible truths, but as soon as they hit the conflict, they throw all that teaching away and start grabbing for human things. And that's not wrong to get some human help. But let me tell you something. In the name of your God, in God's name, the Lord God, you have, if the little sawed-off 17-year-old could face the over 10-foot giant with, in the name of God, you and I can face our conflicts in His name as well. Yes, we can. Face those conflicts in His name. People, His name is His memorial. Call on it. It's with you. I mean, any time of the day. Remember Nehemiah? He got bad news. And in the middle of his work day, in the middle of going about being the king's dietitian, watching over the king's food and drink, in the middle of his work day, bad news came. And then he said, "Then I prayed." Then, as soon as the bad news came, "Then I prayed." I'm going to tell you, I thank God for a God whose name has power and might and is with me at any moment, anytime, any circumstance I need it. It's there. I got here for soul winning on Tuesday night. I dropped off a vehicle over here, Brad Hovey's, and I came over here to get here in time for the 6:30 meeting, and my cell phone rang right out here at the corner, and it was I forget who called now. I think it was one of the family. I don't think it was Joyce. I think it was Abby. They said, "Hannah's been to the doctor. The baby's heart rate is low, and she was supposed to score 8 on these 4 tests, and they said 0002, and they're going to, what's that word? I always forget it. Induce. They're going to induce her, and she's by herself at the hospital. She's upset. It upset my wife, and I called, talked to Joyce. It upset the kids at the house. And then I said, tell Hannah to call me. I don't know the phone number there at the hospital. I said, tell her to call me on my cell phone. And as soon as I closed that cell phone, pulling this parking lot over here, I just called on that name. Dear God. Amen. And I didn't know everything would turn out okay. The heart rate's still a little bit low, and they might induce her Tuesday. I didn't know at that time that everything was going to turn out okay. But I'm going to tell you something. When I called on that name Tuesday night, the God whose name that is was present in that car with me. And the peace of God that passes all understanding was my portion in that moment. Oh, yeah. And then she did call. And she was upset. And I gave her some practical things to think about. And I said, "Hannah, if they were highly concerned, they would have had that baby out already. Just relax." And then I said, "Let's pray." Whew. Brother, when you can pray, dear God. Whew. Amen. When you can pray, dear God, and know that that name is His memorial. A memorial to a self-existent, unchanging God, the same God in whose name David conquered Goliath, the same God in whose name the Hebrew boys went into the fiery furnace, the same God in whose name Daniel went into the den of lions, and I can talk to that same God, that same name, and He's not changed one bit from those great days in the past. He's not one iota, He's not one watt less powerful now than He was then. Thank God. Amen. So what's His name a memorial to? He's the self-existent, eternal One who doesn't change. When you hit the conflict, friend, you got a name. You got a name you can call on. Number two, let me say this morning, let me ask this question. Why hasn't someone erected a monument to His name? Why hasn't that happened? Shouldn't there be some edifice somewhere that causes people to remember Him? Why hasn't someone erected a monument to His name? Can I give you first of all, the answer to that question, nobody has erected a monument to His name that I know of. But why haven't they done it? Monuments are erected in memory of those who have died. Last time I checked, He's still alive. He is not dead. You see, don't miss this. I'm going to have to cut part of this out for sake of time. But He is the self. Jehovah means self-existent. Now, we like to think we're big. We're tough. But look at me and think about you. We are not self-existent. I must have food, I must have water, I must have oxygen to maintain life. I'm not self-existent. I've got to have something from the outside to sustain my life. You see, friend, we are only mortal. We are finite. We must have these external things to sustain life. But God needs no food. God needs no water. God needs no oxygen because He is life. He is life. He is self-existent. How about the angelic beings? You say, well, they're self-existent. Oh, no, they're not. The angelic beings only have life because God gave it to them. He created them, Colossians 1:16. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him. You see, God is life, self-existent life. Everything else is dependent on Him for life. And He's not dead. He's not in the hospital. He's not on life support this morning. His name is His memorial. He's self-existent. I was going to give you an illustration, but I don't have time. Let me move to my third question. How is His name as His memorial helpful to me? Let me give you a little story. Remember when Peter and John in Acts chapter 3 went to the beautiful gate and healed that man who was lame? Remember the next day, the Sanhedrin, the Jewish council brought those guys together because, folks, the city was in an uproar. Everybody knew that man who sat at the gate beautiful. He was lame. And now he's not just walking. He's leaping and praising God all over town. The place is in an uproar, and the Sanhedrin, the Jewish council, sits Peter and John down, and they ask a question, by what power or by what name have ye done this? They didn't really have to ask, by what power or by what name? Because what they did all in one name, who is all power. You see, when they walked up to that temple gate on that afternoon, that man looked at them and asked for some money. Man, that's the answer to my need. More money. By the way, America, we just about like him. If I could just get more money, my problems would be over. And Peter looked at him, and the Bible says, fastened his eyes on him. And he told that man, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. Are you ready for this? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he went walking and leaping and praising God. Walking and leaping and praising God. In the name of... In that name. He walked, he leapt, and he praised God. You see, the power in the name of Jesus Christ healed that lame man. And I say to people this morning, listen, there is power in God's name today. He is the unchanging one. He brought power to people in the Old Testament. He brought power to people in the New Testament. And He will bring power to me and power to you because His name has unchanged. It's His memorial to all generations. That means all power is at your disposal. You want to have a good marriage? All power is at your disposal. All power. Want to have a happy family, a good family, a tight family? All power is at your disposal. You young people want to live clean and right and pure in this wicked and adulterous world. All power is at your disposal. He is the same God now. He was then. His power is the same. His name is unchanged. It's His memorial to all generations. Call on that name. There is power in the name of Jesus Christ. Power in the name of the Lord God. It's His memorial. People have called on it for peace. People have called on it for provision. People have called on it for power. There's power in the name of Jesus Christ. And let me say this, and I'm going to shut her down. When a person gets saved, God gives you power over your worst enemies. Oh, good. Oh, Mr. So-and-so. No, I'm not talking about people. You see, when you get saved, God gives you power, watch it, over sin, death, and the grave. Power over sin. What does that mean? Power over sin's penalty. You see, sin is separation from God forever in a lake of fire. And if you die in your sin, that is your eternal destiny. But when you get saved, you are given freedom from sin's penalty. Sin's penalty has no power over you when you get saved. You do not face eternity in hell. You look forward to eternity in heaven forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen and amen. But that's not all. Not only does He give you power over sin, He gives you power over death. The Bible says that death is the last enemy. Now, I've been in a house and in a hospital emergency room in the last 8 days in two places where death has occurred within a matter of moments after death took place. Death is an enemy. But if you're saved, you have victory over that enemy. Because Jesus said, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you know what death is for a Christian? It's a transfer of location. It's goodbye earth, hello heaven. What Brother Terry experienced before he left this place, he saw it. Yeah. It's goodbye earth, hello heaven. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe that? And that's what he asked Mary, Martha. Believest thou this? Well, it's true. If you're a child of God, you have power over death, power over sin. If you're a child of God, you have power over the grave. To me, that's one of the saddest parts of a funeral, is to leave the grave. It's sad. I remember when we buried Meemaw. Pastor got done with the comments. Nobody wanted to leave. The family didn't want to leave. Started singing a few hymns there. My uncle started singing. Sang the song we sang this morning. Oh, victory in Jesus. But it was sad to walk away from that grave. But if you're a child of God, your body's not going to stay there. Because when the Lord comes, that grave is going to burst open and that body is going to come out of that tomb completely glorified. Perfect. You say, well, won't everybody come out of that grave? Even unsaved people? Yeah, they will. But the Bible says in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2 that some come out of that grave to everlasting life and some come out of the grave to everlasting destruction. If you're saved, that grave is not your body's final resting place. This very body, just without sin, is coming out. I'd call that victory. Power over sin, death, and the grave. If I'm saved. And how do I get saved? For whosoever shall call upon the name. Shall be saved. The name of the Lord. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You see, power over sin, death, and the grave is found in the name, the unchanging name. Say, well, it's Jesus and God, same name. Jesus said that He was the I Am. Have you been saved? I didn't ask if you're a church member. I didn't ask if you've been baptized. I asked you, have you been born again? And when you get born again by trusting in the name of Jesus Christ, what He did, He died, He was buried, He rose again for your soul's salvation, and belief in Him. Him, the power of that name will give you victory over sin, death, and the grave. That's the greatest victory you could ever experience. You see, God's memorial is His name. His name. After church is all over tonight, we head out tomorrow, do different things, I'll promise you. Everybody in this room, His name will be on your mind and on your lips sometime tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday. And Thursday, His name is His memorial. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening this morning. Before we dismiss the service in just a moment, I want to ask two or three important questions. Who is here would say, Brother Angel, I know that I'm saved if I died right now. Don't lie to yourself. Don't be dishonest to yourself, because you can't be helped if you're dishonest. So the smart thing to do now is be honest before God. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking. I'm saved and I know it. Would you lift your hand, please? If you can say that this morning, I'm saved and I know it. Please don't be dishonest. Thank you. Take your hand down. Is there one or more here this morning who would say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand, please? Wherever you're sitting, please, I beg you. Let me pray for you this morning. If you're not sure that you're saved, let me pray for you. I see a little boy's hand. God bless you. Is there somebody else this morning? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. Do I see another one? If you raised your hand just now, you're not sure that you're saved. In just a moment when we have the invitation, Brother Caleb's going to be standing right here in the middle of the platform here in front of the pulpit. Just come and say, Brother Caleb, I'd like to know how to be saved. I want power over sin, death, and the grave. And the only way to have that is to get saved. Who's here this morning would say, I've been saved, but I've never been baptized in deep water since I've been saved.
Pray for me. Anybody like that this morning? Saved but not baptized in deep water since I've been saved. All right, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Now, Christian, let me ask you a question. Are you in the conflict today? Are you in the battle? Don't forget, there's power, there's peace in the name of the Lord. He's real. As real today as He was to Moses, to David, to Daniel, to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. As real today as He was to Peter. There's power, peace in that name. We mentally give assent to that. We hit the conflict and we don't live by it. If you're in the conflict, His name needs to be on your mind and heart and escaping your lips constantly. I know the temptation is to worry and worry and fret and think and figure and how and earn. And we have to do some of that. Please, don't forget the name of your God. Who's here this morning and say, Pastor, I need that. Pray for me. I need that this morning. Would you lift a hand this morning wherever you sit? God bless you. God bless you. Amen and amen and amen. Now, dear Father, I thank You so much for Your love for us. I thank You for what Your book teaches us. And I thank You that Your name is Your memorial. And I thank You, O God, that it's with us wherever we go and under any circumstance, any place, any time. Even, Lord, when we've gone backwards in our Christian life, like Jonah, and end up in the belly of the whale, then Jonah prayed. Lord, please, may we never forget it. Thank You for what Your name means to us. And I pray for every person who lifted a hand, and others this morning as well, that God, Your name would be on their minds and their hearts in the midst of this conflict, this battle. May they not forget the power, the peace, the help in the name of God. Dear Father, bless any that are not saved here this morning, any who should be baptized, and we'll thank You for it. You're a great God. Thank You for Your name this morning. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let's stand, please, together. As the ladies begin to play the instruments, the invitation song, if you're not sure that you're saved, why don't you come this morning and let somebody take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. Step out and come. You raised your hand this morning. You're in the conflict. You're in the battle. You're in the fight. God spoke to your heart and said, don't forget My name this morning. Don't forget who I am. Don't forget what I do. Don't forget My power. Don't forget My peace. Don't forget it. Come this morning. Kneel at this old-fashioned altar and ask God to speak to your heart. Thank You for His name. May it be on my lips. May it be on my mind. May it be on my heart, oh God. Face the battle. The enemy comes with sword, spear, and shield. All you need is the name of God. Because His name is His memorial. While we wait, while we pray this morning, would you come? As these others have, let the Lord speak to your heart. If you're not saved, by all means, come. Let somebody show you the Bible, how to be born again into God's family, or to be baptized, whatever the need is, you come. Finish the song.